Welcome to the Vineyard Church Weekly Message Podcast. We hope that you will be encouraged and challenged today as you listen to a message from one of our speakers. Prepare your heart and get ready to receive a word from God today.
Yeah, it's a bird. It's a plane. It's Superman, right? Superman. Oh, if you're in the midst of a disaster, you want to see somebody like this show up, right? Some type of superhero who's going to be able to come in and fix it all. Nothing bigger than him. He can handle it, right? Superman. Or maybe you're more of a Marvel Comics person, so you want the Avengers to show up. Thor, he's got that hammer. And I don't know what it means, but it's cool, right? And the Hulk, he's got that, you know, anger management problem that helps in a difficult situation. Peril, distress, a big enemy. You want that guy, right? Right? So there's this story we're going to talk about today where the Israelites, the people of God, find themselves in a disaster. They're in peril. They're in distress. And I'm going to tell you this right up front, that the disaster is of their own making. Has anybody ever gotten into a disaster of your own making? I've done it a few times. Yes, so we can kind of relate to this. The Israelites have gotten into this disaster of their own making. They were God's people, and he was going to take care of them. If they would follow his ways, if they could keep his commands, keep the promises they made to him, his covenant. But what happened is over time, they're just like, we're going to do our own thing. We don't need you. We don't want you. We'll do our own thing. And God says, fine, if you don't want me, I'll back off, right? And so what happens then is they fall into the hands of their enemy, of a king named Jabin, and that king's army commander, a guy named Sisera. And the Bible says that Sisera cruelly oppressed the Israelites, cruelly oppressed them. So now what has happened is they have wandered from God, they've fallen into the hands of the enemy, and they are under cruel oppression. And after 20 years, two decades, they decide, maybe we should cry out to God for help. 20 decades, it's fine. Some of us have taken longer than that. 20 decades, they decide, let's cry out to God for help. So they cry out to God for help, some type of relief from this cruel enemy that they're under. And so God responds. God's like, okay, I'm going to come help you, right? So they're ready. It's a bird. It's a plane. It's a woman. I see her. Is it Wonder Woman? Is she in an invisible jet and have cool bracelets, right? No, it looks pretty much like Deborah, that other woman that lives over there. Oh. Well, that's not exactly who we were looking for, is it? We were looking for some type of hero that was going to come in all powerful and make everything better, right? But this is God's answer. And I've found that God often sends the thing, the person, what we're not expecting. And he does it again here. He sends this woman, Deborah. So what is he doing? What is God doing? In Judges chapter 5, there's a scripture, I think, that gives us a picture of what he's doing. It says, I, Deborah, arose a mother in Israel. So kind of wrap your brain around this. The Israelites have gotten themselves into a big mess because they wandered from the ways of God. They're under this oppression from this great enemy. They finally, after two decades, call out to the Lord, and his response is to send them a mom. A parent, if you will. God looks down at this mess and says, they need someone to come parent them. So we are going to look at this story and see how God used Deborah in the midst of this situation. So the story is in Judges chapter 4. We're only going to look at part of it today, so I encourage you that if you really want to know more of Deborah's story, to read all of Judges 4 and Judges 5, if you have time this week. But we're going to look at Judges chapter 4, verses 4 through 9, and then we're going to jump down and grab verse 14. So Judges chapter 4, verse 4. Now Deborah, a prophet, the wife of Lapidoth, was leading Israel at that time. She held court under the palm of Deborah between Ramah and Bethel in the hill country of Ephraim. And the Israelites went up to her to have their disputes decided. She sent for Barak, son of Abinoam from Kadesh in Naphtali, and said to him, "The Lord, the God of Israel, commands you, go, take 10,000 men of Naphtali and Zebulun, and lead them out to Mount Tabor. I will lead Sisera, the commander of Jabin's army," that's the guy who's been cruelly oppressing them, "God's going to lead him with his chariots and his troops to the Kishon River and give them into your hands." Right? This problem's going to get solved. Barak says to her, "If you go with me, I'll go. But if you don't go with me, I won't go." "Certainly, I will go with you," said Deborah. So she agrees to go with him onto the battlefield. They head out. Now we're going to grab verse 14, jump down to there. Then Deborah said to Barak, "Go. This day the Lord has given Sisera into your hands. Has not the Lord gone ahead of you?" So Barak went down Mount Tabor, followed by 10,000 men. So today's message is called Deborah, God's Response to a Cultural Mess. And what we're going to do is we're going to look at how God put Deborah in this situation. The people had cried out for help, and this was his answer. And I think that there's great things we can learn from her, whether we're a man or a woman, a parent or not a parent. We can learn how she impacted her culture, how God used her as part of the answer to this problem. So before we keep going, we're going to pause and we're going to pray. Well, Holy Spirit, as I paused just for a moment there, you reminded me that we, when we partner with you, become a conduit for God to come into a situation. So I pray, Lord, that you will come over the next few minutes and encourage us and challenge us to help us see how we can just be inviting more of you in so that more of you can flow in our midst, God. We can see a movement of God among us. And I pray that you will come, and to every person listening, God, that you will bring encouragement and challenge, and that it'll be a moment to see we have the capacity to make an impact. We do. And that we would rise to that challenge. So come and teach us, Lord. Lord, if it's just me talking, it isn't going to work very well. So would you please come and you be our teacher for the next few minutes, God? I just give myself and all of this time to you, for you alone and your glory, God. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Okay, so we're going to look at two ways Deborah impacted her culture. So Deborah impacted the culture by providing necessary parenting. Providing necessary parenting, and I'm going to specifically say spiritual parenting. She wasn't driving carpool or making peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. That wasn't the type of mothering she was doing. She was providing a spiritual direction type of parenting. We see in Judges 4, verse 5, it says she held court under the palm of Deborah, between Ramah and Bethel in the hill country of Ephraim, and the Israelites went up to her to have their disputes decided. Now this, to me, gives us a picture of just how spiritually immature the Israelites are. Essentially, what's happening is they have to go out to a mom and have her settle an argument. I picture, like, Have y'all ever watched Judge Judy, that TV show Judge Judy? I picture Deborah setting up court under the palm and people with kind of childish arguments coming and her saying, "No, no, no, you borrowed the money, pay it back. Or it was her car and you wrecked it, you're responsible," right? Someone coming in with some authority. Somebody coming in bringing clarity about what's right and what's wrong, wisdom from God, that's what she's doing. Because that's how far they've come from being away from the law of the Lord. If they had read the law of the Lord, if you read it, that Moses was given, has in it ways to settle disputes. It does. So they have come far from it. So she's teaching them. She is helping them to settle these disputes. And I'm pretty sure, because every time I went to a mom type figure and had them settle the dispute, boy, I feel like I got corrected because I was probably in the wrong about something in it. Even if I was really right, there was a word of challenge to me. Deborah's coming and bring a necessary parenting. Judges 17:6 describes the culture like this. In those days, Israel had no king, which was God's plan because he wanted to be their king. Israel had no king, but look at this. Everyone did as they saw fit. Who thinks this is a good idea? Everyone doing as they saw fit. You know, because to me, that means everything was about me, 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 I, gimme, gimme, gimme. My way, right? Which doesn't always work. Probably why she needed to sit there and settle disputes every day. Everybody doing as they saw fit was not God's plan. That was not his plan. He had given them the law through Moses, and his plan was that that would get passed along. Deuteronomy 6:6 through 7 says this: "These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts." Like they're supposed to matter to you. And then look at this: "Impress them on your children." It was God's plan that the people would receive the law, it would become important to them, drive how they lived, and that they would impress it on the next generation. Talk about them when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, and when you get up. The thought from God's perspective was, I'm going to give them this law, and then they're going to follow it because it's going to matter to them. It's going to drive what they do. And then in the midst of their daily life, it'll be seen by the people around them. And they'll be able to talk about why we do or don't do something, about what's right and what's wrong. There was going to be a standard that was going to be passed along. I think that we can see that if everybody's doing as they saw fit, that means Israel, at some point, there was a breakdown in the spiritual impact of a family. Whether that was biological family, whether that was them as the family that was God's people, the religious leaders, somehow there was a breakdown. When that generation that followed God died, that covenant with God, that connection with God, that commitment to God died with them. It didn't get passed on to the next generation. Which wasn't God's plan. His plan is that they would engage with those people around them. Whether it was their own biological children, or whether it was extended family, or neighbors, or friends, somehow they would be impacting spiritually the culture around them and raising up that next generation. And it's not just in the standards and practices of the Lord, it was also raising up the next generation of people who serve the Lord, the next generation of pastors, the next generation of preachers, teachers, worship leaders, evangelists. If we don't pass that along to the next generation, once those people die down, it dies out. We haven't passed it along. So the question before us is, who are we supposed to be spiritually investing in? Jesus told his disciples, "Freely you've received, freely give." If there's a gifting in you, pass it along. Who are you bringing along in your daily life and impacting for the kingdom of God? Equipping them, encouraging them, challenging them. Who's in your sphere of influence who maybe needs help discerning what's right or what's wrong? Who are we supposed to be investing in? I had an opportunity recently to work with Wes Hershberger. Some of you know Wes. Wes is one of the assistant directors of worship here, worship leader here. And Wes wanted to teach a Vineyard Fit class, which Vineyard Fit is our discipleship class. classes program. FIT stands for Faith in Training. Wes wanted to teach a Vineyard FIT class about worship. But the problem was that he'd never taught a Vineyard FIT class, and he'd never really taught anything at that level, like multiple weeks and that much time frame. And so they came to me and they said, Dawn, will you help Wes teach a Vineyard FIT class on worship? And let me tell you, it's way easier. I could have said, no, I'll just do it myself if you want a Vineyard FIT class on worship. It's way easier to just do it yourself sometimes than to teach somebody else. Does anybody else feel that way? But no, that doesn't really help Wes or me for that matter, because then it's always on me to teach every class if I don't teach someone else, right? So Wes and I partnered together, and I essentially just kind of talked to Wes and said, okay, Wes, this is what I do. I sit down and I brainstorm what I want to talk about, or scriptures come to mind, and we worked on how you come up with an outline, how you design each class, you know, what are some ways to organize it, and we worked through that. And it ended up going really well. Wes did a great job. And the cool thing is, I think that now, moving forward, Wes can totally teach a Vineyard FIT class and not need much help with it at all. But there had to be a place of giving him the opportunity to be taught, someone to parent him through it. You can write this on your handout. Spiritual parenting affects the now need as well as the future harvest. Spiritual parenting affects the now need as well as the future harvest. Just that question again, like, who or what are we investing in? Who or what should we be investing in? Because it's not just for right now. It's going to set us up for the future generations. So that was the first way that Deborah impacted the culture, was by providing necessary parenting. The second way that she impacted the culture was by issuing a necessary push. If you remember in the story, she was a prophet, so she had a word from the Lord. And it was for Barak, and it was telling him, essentially, hey, if you get some guys and go up against this enemy, God's going to be with you, and this problem, this peril, this disaster we've been in will get solved. Okay? But his response was, I'll go if you go. Right? And she says in that moment, certainly I'll go with you. And I think she had a capacity to see he's not quite ready yet, right? He's not quite there. Like, he's willing to go, but he doesn't have enough maturity yet to go do it on his own. So she goes with him into battle, lends her support, leads through providing wisdom and knowledge. But then we see in Judges 4, verse 14, then Deborah said to Barak, go! Exclamation point, go. This is the day the Lord's given Sisera into your hands. Has not the Lord gone ahead of you? There's a real shift here from focusing on, is Deborah going to go with me or not? She's pushing him. Well, God's going. God's ahead of you. Go meet him. There's this moment of recognizing and discerning, this is a moment that Barak has to step out on his own with the Lord and partner with him. And I think it's kind of interesting to see that as she pushes him toward the Lord, it's almost like she takes a step back out of the situation. Like, in that moment, she knows, like, it's time for him to try this on his own with the Lord. And he could have done a lot of things. He could have said, no way, you've got to go with me, or I'm not sure, let's give it a few minutes. He could have resisted it and said, whoa, we had a deal, you were going to come with me, right? But he does it. Verse 15, we haven't read this yet, but verse 15 says, at Barak's advance, so she said go, and he goes, at Barak's advance, the Lord routed Sisera. So in this moment, she says, go, pushes him toward the Lord and what the Lord's doing, steps back out of the way. He steps up and partners with the Lord in a powerful way that defeats this enemy that they have been dealing with for two decades. Her capacity to push him at the right time and for him to rise to the challenge allows this powerful partnership with him and the Lord that brings a freedom and a deliverance. She knew when was the right moment to stick with him and help him out, and she knew the right moment to give him a little push, right? We have three children. Our oldest is our daughter, Madison. She just turned 17. Madison and I were in the car recently, and I was talking about how many days were left of school. And she was like, "Don't talk about it. I don't want to hear how many days are left of school," which seems odd, because I'm really excited about the end of school, but she wasn't excited about the end of school. And what we found out as we talked was she was super, super duper stressed about exams. So the end of school meant exams, and Madison was very worried about the exams. So I pull out all my super great parenting skills. I had scriptures, and I had encouragement, and I had, you know, God doesn't want Satan to steal your joy, all those great things, and the kid is not buying any of it. And it was good stuff. She wasn't buying one bit of it. So there's this moment there where it's like, okay, as a mom, I've become aware, you know, my daughter has shared she's very worried about something. I comforted and encouraged her and did the best I could, but there's this moment now where I don't have any, I haven't changed it, right? So I could do one of two things. I could have been like, oh my goodness, we need to call a prayer meeting of everyone in the Tri-County area and pray about the stress my daughter's under about exams. We need a counselor. We need, you know, all these things. I could have tried to fix it as a mom. I could have tried to fix it. But instead, I'm probably maybe overly aware in this life of just how limited I am. I'm telling you, people, I gave a good argument, and it was the best I had, and it didn't work. And so I prayed to the Lord. I was like, God, the girl hears from you. She's got a really good ear to hear from God. I was like, you talk to her, because I just can't. So it was like my moment of stepping back out of the way and seeing what would happen. Well, right after that very weekend, Madison walks into church, and the sermon is about worry. It was just last weekend. And Madison listens to the sermon, and Madison goes up for prayer, and Madison has an encounter with God that she described as just a huge weight being lifted off of her, the worry that she had about different things. And so I think three different things were going on. First of all, we can count on the fact that God is going to show up. That was what Deborah is telling Barak. Go. It has not the Lord gone ahead of you? So first of all, God shows up. I shut up, right, as a mom, rather than like continuing on and on with my thing I already said. I back out of the way. I recognize I did the best I could. I offered comfort when it needed to happen. I back out of the way. But then Madison steps up, just like Barak did. She steps up because she could have shut down. But what she told me was, Mom, as soon as they said the sermon was about worry, I knew I needed to listen. I knew I needed to pay attention, right? She could have shut down and been like, no, I'm so worried they don't understand what I'm going through. That doesn't apply to me. She could have said that. She didn't. She listened. And then they offer prayer, and she goes up for prayer. She didn't say anything to me. She didn't say anything to her dad. Nobody said, Madison, go up for prayer. She did that on her own. She responded to that call. She could have even said, well, the message was good, but I'm not going to go up and have them pray for me because I don't want to hear what they have to say. I'm just going to do my own thing. But she didn't. She went up for prayer, and the prayer was powerful for her. She stepped up. I have this in my notes. Even the best spiritual parenting on the planet is rendered fruitless if the children refuse to be parented. It is a huge challenge to all of us. This isn't just about little kids. This is about us, our entire walk with the Lord. Are we teachable? God has said it to me all week. Dawn, are you teachable? Because if you're not teachable, we're not going to get very far. Can you be corrected? If Wes had said to me, Dawn, I don't want to teach a Vineyard Fit class like that, that wasn't going to be very helpful to his process, was it? But he was willing to listen and to learn, to grow. There's a very convicting example for me in the Old Testament. You know, we have King David, who had a son named Solomon. And Solomon, toward the end of his life, went off the rails. He is worshiping all kinds of crazy idols and very much away from the Lord. And because of that, he puts this, what they say in the Bible is they put a heavy yoke on the people of Israel, the people in the kingdom. So when Solomon dies and his son Rehoboam becomes the king, the people come to Rehoboam and they say, look, your dad put a huge, heavy yoke on us. Is there anything you can do about that? Can you come and lift that off of us a little bit? So Rehoboam tells them, let me think about it. Let me get some counsel and then I'll get back to you. So he goes to the elders, the advisors, the people who had worked with his father through all of his years of reigning as the king. He goes to the elders. He asks them, what should I do? This wise counsel. And they say, you know what? I think if you lessen the load on these people, they will be loyal to you and it will go well with you for the rest of your reign. That's what they suggest. But what does he do? 2 Chronicles 10:8. But Rehoboam rejected the advice the elders gave him. And then look, and consulted the young men who had grown up with him and were serving him. So he rejects this voice from the elders, from the wise people among him. And he listens to these young guys he's grown up with. And the young guys say, oh, they think your father was bad. You be worse. Double it. And he ends up making the situation worse for the people. It begins the end of the kingdom combined. It causes the kingdom to divide and is a huge, disastrous moment in Israel's history. Who are you listening to? I felt like the Lord said, who are you listening to? Can you listen to the voice of a parent? Because a voice of a parent won't always say what you want to hear, right? A spiritual parent sometimes has to say, out of love, the hard correcting comment, right? Are we teachable? Can we hear it? Can we be open to the parenting? Not just of the spiritually mature people among us, but the parenting of the Lord. He is Father God. And whatever age you are, if you're 9, if you're 19, if you're 29, if you're 59, if you're 109, he is planning on parenting you. Will we stay teachable? Holy Spirit in the Bible is described as the one who teaches and guides and counsels and comforts and reminds. That sounds like a parent to me. The Holy Spirit is here to parent us. Will we let him? Will we let him? You can write this on the handout. Our openness to parenting determines our ability to spiritually mature. Our openness to parenting determines our ability to spiritually mature. If we shut all that out, we're not going to grow. If you think back to the text where it said everybody in Israel did as they saw fit, that scripture to me has a feel to it of, ain't nobody going to tell me what to do or how to do it. I got this. And that's a dangerous place to live. I've lived there where nobody could tell me anything. And you don't grow. One last scripture, Romans 12:3 says, for by the grace God given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought. I am 43 years old. I have learned a lot. known Jesus since I was a 10-year-old girl. I've learned a lot, but people, I've got plenty to learn. We got to stay humble and open to what he has. So we're going to now move into a time of ministry and prayer. Why don't you all stand with me as we close up today? Some of you know that we have a prayer team that will pray for any need you have, physical healing or relational situations you're in or financial situations. They're up here. If you need any prayer, come up to the front row. But also, we felt it a lot this weekend. If there's anyone who is particularly broken-hearted this weekend, the Mother's Day thing, if you're a mom that's broken or just tired, come up and get some prayer. Or if you're just heartbroken today, come up and let somebody pray for you, because God binds up the brokenhearted. And then also, after we dismiss, I'll be down at this end. If there's anybody who feels like, man, I've never had a spiritual parent, I'd just like to pray for those people who feel like they missed it because they didn't have anybody who came along and parented them. And then now as we close, if you feel like God was stirring in you that it's time to step up and really start being a person who influences others, either as a spiritual mom or a spiritual dad, or just even as a spiritual encouragement, trying to have more of an impact in your culture that way, go ahead and raise your hand. I'm going to pray for you as we pray the prayer of dismissal. So if that's you, raise your hand. Yeah, if you can raise them a little higher for me and keep them up, thank you. See them all, thank you. So God, right now, I especially want to pray for those who've raised their hands. They're like, man, God, you laid on my heart. I need to step up. I pray, God, for boldness. I pray for boldness to say the hard thing because we love people enough to have a hard conversation. We love people enough to say, I love you, but that's wrong. God would say that's wrong. God, will you come and just raise up spiritual moms and spiritual dads in our culture? And I thank you, God, that you're not limited by age. So it could be that the younger person is parenting the older one, and that's fine. I pray for people to step up and take that place. Our culture needs it. It needs it. We're in a little bit of a mess. We've got some messy things going on and could use some necessary parenting. So bless these people, God, that you've laid on their hearts. Bring people across their path. Fill them with love and compassion for those people so that the parenting comes from a place of a heart that's full of God's heart for them. And then, Lord, for the rest of the people, I just pray a blessing that you're going to show them how they can be impacting people around them, that they have something to give. They have a gift that they can freely give and share and raise someone up in. God, come and stir in us a capacity to share what you've given. Freely we have received, freely we want to give. All to your glory alone, God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening to the Vineyard Church Weekly Message Podcast. We pray that you were impacted by this message. God bless and see you next time.